Hi, this is Jay Evans from the USDA ARS Bee Research Laboratory in Beltsville, Maryland. I'd like to read an essay I wrote for Bee Culture magazine titled Found in Translation: Thriving in a Chemical World. Honeybees are susceptible to chemical stresses, especially those that target related pests to insects. Consequently, much of the effort that goes into protecting crops from insect pests is devoted to reducing off-target effects on pollinators and other, quote, non-target insects. This work is focused on honeybees, since they are widespread, cherished, and often desired by farmers thanks to yield increases via pollination. Work in the past few months highlights both the evolving risk of chemicals to bees and, in a glass half full way, potential ways to mitigate those risks through nutrition and bee management. First, for the hazards and risks. A hazard is a somewhat vague threat on the level of, quote, tornadoes cause structural and bodily harm, end quote. A risk is the likelihood that a tornado will in fact cause such harm on a particular person or place as it passes through. Hazards account for historical tornadoes in an area and current seasonal or weather patterns, while risk focuses on a direct hit and the strength of your house. Insurance agents will cover someone in a Tucson brick house for the hazard of tornadoes, but they will charge a lot more for someone in an area prone to tornadoes, especially if they live in a flimsy house. As creatures of the environment, honeybees could face thousands of hazards. These hazards only become risks through contact, potency, and changes in bee health that impact the colony. Pesticides are a fact of agriculture in a populated world, at least currently. This does not mean they are a constant risk to bees, but they are enough of a concern that they must be monitored and regulated to reduce that risk. Andrew Niss from the University of Wyoming and USDA colleagues assessed risks posed by disease management in two key crops, corn or maize and soybeans. This is a paper called Honeybee Toxicity of Pesticides Used in United States Maize and Soybean Production. It was published in 2025 in Integrated Environmental Assessment and Management, and it's online. These are hugely impactful crops for our food supply and our land use. According to USDA statistics, corn will be planted on 95.3 million acres in 2025, about 28% of the total agricultural land in the U.S. Soybeans are expected to cover 83.5 million acres, or 25% of farmed lands. With over half of U.S. croplands devoted to these two species, it is likely that many bee colonies will come in contact with one or both crops. This paper takes an economic approach to the potential upside of pesticide use, more food for society in the face of numerous biological threats, and the costs in terms of negative effects on non-target species like bees. Toxicological risks were based on US EPA's Ecotox database, a compilation of thousands of experimental studies related to toxicity. You can Google that up at epa.gov/ecotox, including 500 plus studies of honeybee responses. The punchline for corn from 1998 to 2020 is that risk to bees from pre-emergence or soil treatments decreased dramatically from 1998 to 2010, while post-emergence or foliar treatments have increased slightly since around 2005, largely due to attempts to control beetle pests with foliar treatments. Soybeans, in contrast, have seen a sharp increase in post-emergence risk factors as soy farmers battle aphids and other bugs using foliar treatments that present a heavy risk to foraging bees. There's far more in this study to unravel, including an eco-efficiency metric that can be a useful tool to measure whether current land practices provide a sufficient bump in yield to justify added risk to pollinators. This metric suggests that more work can be done in both of these two vital crops to improve yields without damaging bees. These corn and soybean analyses and their underlying databases ignore seed treatments that are known to present bee risks during planting and beyond. And on that topic, see excellent work by Professor Judy Wu Smart at the University of Nebraska and her colleagues. There's a Google Scholar page dedicated to Dr. Wu Smart's work. Corn and soy farms deploy treated seeds in 98% and 99.9% 90% of planted acreage, respectively, and it will be interesting to see how the hazards in these treatments translate into risks for bees. Mitigating those risks is an active field of research within industry, academic, and government labs. Despite chemical hazards, beekeepers can be proactive in their hive placement and management to reduce realized risks. One way is through providing alternate forage for bees, and there has been abundant work describing alternate, quote, prairie, end quote, habitat for beekeepers near agricultural swaths. Especially in the upper Midwest, these experiments have been done at a scale that shows benefits to bee survival and productivity. A recent study led by Ashley St. Clair at Iowa State University and colleagues there and in Illinois highlights the benefits of moving bees to so-called prairie strips for summer forage. Papers by St. Clair et al. And it's titled Insecticide Application Prevents Honeybees from Realizing Benefits of Native Forage in an Agricultural Landscape in the journal Science of the Total Environment, and that one's online as well. As in prior work, bees thrived when given adjacent diverse forage. Nevertheless, bees that had been exposed to agrochemicals in controlled field experiments were slow to rebound when placed on prairie strips, suggesting the risks of this exposure were not easily fixed. More field experiments like this can help bees and beekeepers survive challenging landscapes. For those without a flowering prairie at their disposal, it's possible that food supplements can help bees endure a chemical insult. Pierre Lau and USDA colleagues recently published a study indicating that the risks of neonicotinoid insecticides on honeybees can be partially offset by providing supplemental nutrition. This is another 2025 paper titled Honeybee Immune Response to Trace Concentrations of Clothianidin Goes Beyond the Macronutrients Found in Artificial Diets. And that's in Scientific Reports, also freely available online. In this laboratory study, protein supplements were critical for bee survival. Bees given supplements consisting of a 3-to-2 protein to lipid ratio survived well, while lower ratios of protein and bees given sucrose alone survived poorly, especially when also exposed to trace levels of clothianidin, an insecticide widely used in agriculture. A corollary of that result is that if bees are nutritionally stressed, which happens in different seasons, their risk from the same exposure to chemicals is much more substantial. Commercial beekeepers have long acted on a sense that bees needed fresh and abundant wild forage following bouts in certain crops, and this study supports those actions. Abundant results showing pesticide risk to bees are not new or controversial, and the dialogue between growers, regulators, and beekeepers is pretty mature. As beekeepers, you need to be aware of your surroundings, proactive at many levels, and do what you need to do to squash hazards before they become actual risks. Thank you for listening.